Foot Racing Image, Background to Hebrews 12 by Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. A tour of athletics, and especially foot racing, in the ancient Greco-Roman world as a background to various New Testament references, especially Hebrews 12. What do we know about the history of foot racing in the human race? Origin of foot racing is lost in antiquity. Probably foot racing began, like most other ancient sports, as practice for warfare, activities that youth training for warfare would engage in, and activities that seasoned warriors would do to keep up their strength and skill. Greece is our main source of information on ancient athletics. After Alexander the Great, Greek culture spread through most of the Mediterranean world and somewhat eastward. This culture was then continued with some additions by the Romans when they took over the Mediterranean area. Ancient athletic meets. In ancient Greece, there were four main competitive meets held for centuries every 2 to 4 years. These were the Olympic Games, the Pythian Games, the Isthmian Games, and the Nemean Games. A little about each of these. The Olympic Games. The Olympic Games were held every 4 years in August of the first year of the Olympiad, sometime after the formation of the Olympic meet. A calendar was set up that the Greeks used, in which they divided up time into four-year periods called Olympiads, and the Olympic Games met in the first year of each Olympiad, and so were held every 4 years in the month that we would designate today as August. The Olympic Games were held at Olympia in the western Peloponnesus. You can see that perhaps on the map I've put up there in the upper part of the panel, and here's a little star to move over in the general area to show you where it is. The Olympic Games were had a religious context significance. They were held in honor of the chief god of the Greek pantheon, Zeus. The prize was an olive wreath. Doesn't sound like much, and indeed the actual prize was not much. The prestige was enormous, however. And sometimes the spin-off financial value was very substantial as well. Originally, only men were competitors in the Olympic Games, and to my knowledge, women never did become competitors, but grown men initially, and then later boys and adolescents. Various events were held for the Olympic Games. They were all what we would call athletic. Various foot races. We'll come back and unpack the variety of these races later on here. The throwing of the discus, which is what's shown here with the athlete to the right, an ancient sculpture, the throwing of the javelin, type of spear, the broad jump, often used with the weights that the jumper would carry in his hands, boxing, something of the sort of boxing we're familiar with, but instead of having gloves, they had something more like brass knuckles, wrestling, we would think of today as not the American college-style wrestling, or certainly not the TV wrestling, but what is called in the Olympic contests today as Greco-Roman wrestling, a little different set of rules. The Pancration, a set of fighting-type athletic events. And then the Pentathlon, which is a combination of a foot race and several of the other events here as well. The Pythian Games were also held every 4 years, also in August, but in the third year of each Olympiad, so 2 years after the Olympic Games in each cycle, or 2 years before, since the cycle was a four-year cycle. The Pythian Games were held at Delphi, about 80 miles northwest of Athens. If you look carefully on this map, you will see Delphi between the label Ionium Mara, Theramon, and Chalcis. Okay, so Theramon, Delphi, Chalcis there, and here's an arrow to show a star to show you where that is. The Pythian Games were in honor of the Greek god Apollo, and the prize was a laurel wreath. Laurel was sacred to Apollo. So again, the prize was no great thing per se. The events were similar to the Olympics, except here as well we had musical compositions. And again, a person might be good in one sport or another, might be good in music, but not in athletics and that sort of thing. So prizes for each of these different events. The Isthmian Games were held every 2 years, earlier in the year, April, May. The month divisions in the Greek calendar are not quite the same as ours, but held on the second and fourth Olympiad years. So the two off years when the other two games were not being held, the Isthmian Games would be held April, May. If you look there, they were held near Corinth, actually, at a little town called Isthmia, and Corinth is there on the east side of the little connection between mainland Greece and the big Peloponnesus, and there's a star to show you where that's located. The Isthmian Games were in honor of another Greek god, Poseidon, the god of the sea, and the prize was a dry celery wreath, and later a pine wreath. Again, sounds pretty low-powered, huh? The Isthmian Games were not as prestigious as the Olympic Games were. Fourthly were the Nemean Games. These were held every 2 years, but they were held in July of the same years that the Isthmian Games were held, the second and fourth Olympiad years. So basically, every 2 years you had one of the big ones that were held in August, and then in the intermediate years you had the Isthmian and the Nemean Games held on the April, May, and then July. Location here, this was at Nemea, 15 miles southwest of Corinth, so on this small map we've got, that's going to show up looking like about the same place as the Corinth one was. These games were in honor of Zeus again, the chief god of the Greek pantheon. The prize was a wreath of fresh wild celery. Well, those were the four big games, if you like, and they ran in 2 and 4 year cycles. There were other games. By New Testament times, every major city in the Roman Empire had games annually, or sometimes at longer periods, and with much less prestige than these big four. The prizes, however, were more valuable to make up for the fact that the prizes were far less prestigious. As I mentioned once before, and probably should mention again, winners in the big games, although the specific award was no great shakes, had lots of spin-offs from it. Often they were tax-exempt in their city-state then for the rest of their life sometimes, fed on the public dole for the rest of their life and such. So although there were no television commercials and things of that sort, still very substantial prestige. The winning prizes these other games were less prestigious, but there was an attempt to make up for that in the value of the particular prizes. However, by New Testament times, athletics had come to be dominated by professionals. We can see this in some of the coins where a picture of a particular boxer or wrestler, you can see cauliflower ears. A person has really gotten beaten up, and you can see kind of big hunk-looking figures who are athletes, whereas the physical ideal of people and athletes as well in the earlier Greek period was not a big, hunky, beefy type person, but a person who was more, well-proportioned, less muscle-bound looking. Well, that's a quick tour of the games. We move then more specifically to ancient foot racing. We have really very little information about non-Greek foot racing, though there's no question, I think, that that was done in ancient times. You remember from the Bible that it's pretty clear in Judges and 1 Samuel and such that a characteristic of battles was typically the two armies fought one another, and then the losers sought to retreat, which typically meant running back to their fortified cities, and if this were short, we're probably not talking about a huge race, maybe a sprint of some sort, but quite often this was some miles and a long thing where the victors would try to run them down and capture them or kill them and get their armor and other loot, which they would be wearing on them, perhaps. So not much information about what we might call recreational or competitive foot racing, though we do have some information in the Old Testament about military foot racing, you might say. The various foot races held at the major games, the Olympics and such, were these. The shortest race was the Stadion or Dromos. Dromos just means race, run. Stadion is a reference to its length. It's a length of a stadium. Okay, we still, the term stadion is still, or stadium is still used occasionally as a length. This was the standard length race. It was one length of the athletic stadium, and that was just over 200 yards. The second race was the Diaulos. The name means to court. Okay, the Aulos perhaps being thought of as the courtyard inside the stadium. So it was two lengths of the stadium. Basically, one started at one end, ran down to the other end, turned and ran back. And so that's about 400 yards, turning around a post of some sort at the other end, not on a track, as we would think of. The Dolichos was a third term for a number of longer races than this, and where we give them names, if you like a mile or a 1,000 meter or something like that, or a marathon. These had the generic name Dolichos. We don't know whether they had more specific names or not, but various longer races were included under this term. The term Dolichos means wearying. And these would run up to about 3 miles, up to about 24 stages. You say, well, where's the marathon? 26 miles. That was not an official race in antiquity. It was something that was invented, if you like, for modern Olympics to commemorate a run in which a messenger came from the battle at Marathon to inform the Greeks at Athens that they had won the battle. A fourth type of race was called the hoplite race, and this was racing various distances in full or partial armor. The others were raced basically naked, perhaps not always naked in Roman times, but in Greek times naked. The hoplite race was raced in full or partial armor, so often carrying a shield, perhaps wearing breastplate or a helmet or something of that sort. Perhaps carrying a weapon, and these ran from 2 stades, that is a Diaulos length, up to 15 stades, which is better than half the longest Dolichos. Well, you can see the military implications and practical value, perhaps, of being able to do something of that sort. What did the stadiums look like in antiquity? Well, here's a picture of the stadium restored at Delphi today. And they've attempted to give you a pretty good picture. So the paved thing that has kind of a pinkish color, you can see it running away from you here in the picture, and rather substantial stands on the left side and perhaps less substantial stands on the right side there. Typically, a stadium was long and narrow, so about 200 yards long, a little over 200 yards long for the actual race course part of it, and about 30 yards wide with stands sometimes all around. Up to 20 runners would run in a race running side by side, and that could doubtless produce some collisions and things of that sort, particularly when they had to go around one post or several posts at the end to turn and come back. For the longer races, Diaulos and longer, they turned at one or more posts at the end rather than having an oval track as we think of. So we're talking about typically straightaway race and then with a turn and return, which is not characteristic of track and field events in modern athletics. Well, that's our tour of the athletic events, and you can get some feel for that then when you look at Hebrews chapter 12, the reference perhaps to the great crowd of witnesses. Great cloud of witnesses, actually, but we think cloud and crowd, cloud is being used as a metaphor for crowd in Hebrews 12:1, is clearly looking back at the Hebrews 11 reference to the roll call of these heroes of Old Testament, Intertestament period. But I think there's a hint there, at least, that would imagine that these people who have gone before, these saints who have gone before, are now sitting in the stadium watching us run our race. And the race is not a sprint. The reference at the end of that passage, verses 12, 13, of the weary arms and legs and watching out that you don't throw something out of joint, etc., surely refers to a dolichos type sort of thing. So the picture which the writer of Hebrews is giving us is that the Christian life is like a long, wearying race. We are to keep our eyes on the finish line, where Jesus, perhaps we should translate the remark as Jesus, the starter or finisher, has run his race, and realize that we're being observed by the saints as we run our own race. So we look to Jesus, the starter and finisher of our faith. Some sources for the material on the Greek athletic events. The Encyclopedia Britannica, I used the 1970 edition when I did this material. Ian Gardner's book, Athletics of the Ancient World, and two articles from the journal, The Ancient World, the article Athletics in Antiquity from the 83, March 83 edition, and then issue, and then Ancient Games and Athletics from the Ancient World's August 84 edition. More recent material can be found on the Tufts University website at perseus.tufts.edu/Olympics, as you see there. Well, that's the end of our talk, and we might say from the New Testament, thinking of the Christian life as a race, we are to run so as to obtain the prize.